Well, it is great to have our kids in with us today. I'm really excited to have the kids with us. I want to spend some time this morning talking not just to the adults in the room, but to the kids directly. Today, as I said, we're in this final chapter of Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be thinking about God's design for Christian families, for parents and for children. Now, in the ancient world, there were lots of people who wrote about how children should behave, lots of instructions about how children should do this or that, but when they gave those instructions, they almost never wrote to children directly. They wrote about children to their parents. Children were usually left out. And kids, I wonder if you've ever felt left out before. Well, that's not what our God is like. We have a God who in the Bible speaks directly to children. He speaks to you if you are a kid. Notice how verse 1 of our passage is addressed directly to children. Our God is interested in you. He values and cares about you. See, God puts such a high value on children and families, and he wants every family to be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like a house that stands firm in wild weather because it's built on a solid foundation, he wants families to be built on the Lord. Do you notice at the beginning of our passage, our children are called to obey in the Lord. And then at the end of the passage in verse 4, parents are to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord, built on the Lord. That's the picture here. And so this passage, it's speaking to parents, it's speaking to children, and not only to young children, but to any child who is still living at home. This whole section of Ephesians is addressing relationships within the home. You've got last week marriage, this week children, parents, next week slaves. This whole section of Ephesians is about the household. And so if you're in your teens or 20s and still living at home, this passage is for you as well. And of course, this passage really does speak to every one of us, because all of us as God's people have a role to play in seeing children grow up as disciples of Jesus. Children are the future, both of the church and of the world. And they are precious in God's sight. So let's get into our passage. Just four verses today. And I want to start off by speaking directly to our children. Although, if you are a young child or a teenage young adult child, you may not be thrilled with what I'm going to say to you. But this is God's word to you. And it is right and good for you. In verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is one way that children can show that they are following the Lord Jesus, honoring your parents by doing what they tell you to do, even if you don't really want to. You know, when your parents ask you to help around the house, when they tell you to stop doing something, whatever it might be, God wants you to listen to them and obey them without arguing, without pushing back. And that's not easy, is it? I was not very good at obeying my parents when I was younger, or even when I was into my teens. I was pretty shocking. And kids, I reckon your parents probably weren't so good at this either when they were kids. Obedience doesn't come naturally. It is something we all have to learn. And, you know, you might be wondering, why? Why should I obey my parents? Well, our passage actually gives us two reasons why. It's not because your parents are perfect, because none of us are. It's not just because you'll get into trouble if you don't. It's more than that. Kids, can you see what the first reason is in verse 1? It's obey your parents, for this is right. Because it's right. That's the first reason. I wonder if you've ever tried to put a puzzle piece in the wrong spot. And no matter how hard you push, it's just not quite going in. It just doesn't quite look right. Well, when children obey their parents, it's like putting a puzzle piece in just the right spot. That's the picture of God's family. That's the way he wants it to look. That's the way he's created it to look. In his perfect wisdom and love, children obeying their parents. Kids, God brought you into the world through your parents. You wouldn't be here without them. God gave you to them, and he gave them to you to lead you and to be in charge of your family. It's just like how a bus needs a bus driver to stay on course, and a ship needs a captain to go in the right direction. In the same way, God put your parents in charge of you to make sure that your family goes in the right direction. And so when children become disobedient and try to do things their own way, not listening to their parents, it's kind of like trying to take over the wheel from the bus driver. It's not a good idea. And this brings us then to the second reason why children are called to obey their parents. The first is because it's right. The second is because it's good for you. It's good for you. In verse 2, Paul reminds children of the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And just as an aside, this commandment is for all of us. To honor your father and mother is for all of us, regardless of age. For children at home, honoring your parents will mean obeying them. But after you move out, that means giving them your respect, your time, caring for them as they age, being respectful always. But here Paul is speaking particularly to children at home. Honoring your parents as a child means obeying them. And notice though, here's the point of this section. Notice in verse 2, Paul points out that this commandment originally came with a promise. What was the promise? Well, in verse 3, it's so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's the promise God made. Now, originally, this promise was given to the nation of Israel, and it was about the Israelites enjoying a long life in the land of Canaan. Now, kids, God isn't saying to you that if you obey your parents, he's going to make you live to 100 in the land of Canaan. That's not the point. But God is saying to you that not obeying your parents is dangerous. Not obeying your parents can cause you harm. And obeying them is good for you. Now, if your parents say, look both ways before crossing the road, and you obey, you'll be safe. If they say, eat your veggies or clean your teeth, and you obey, well, you'll remain healthy. Your teeth won't rot. If they say, don't hit, don't lie, don't steal, and you obey, you'll stay out of trouble. And even more, you will learn how to live for God, how to please God. Your parents, they love you. They want what is best for you. And they have been alive longer than you. They've made mistakes and learned from them. And so God says, obey your parents, because it is good for you. And if you are in your teens or 20s, and still living at home, then God does want you to hear this too. It might look a little different for you, but the call is the same, to obey your parents. You know, as you get older, you want to become more independent, make your own decisions, and that's good, that's right. But while you are under your parents' care and provision, relying on them, God calls you to honor them by obeying them. You know, I'll be the first to admit I did not do this well in my teen years. I caused my mum and dad so much heartache. But I wish I had. I wish I'd listened to this passage back then. You know, when your parents ask you to be home by a certain time, when they ask you to help out around the house, when they tell you not to do something sinful or foolish, whatever it might be, listen to your parents. God calls you to obey them because it is right and because it's good for you. And of course, no one does this perfectly. When it comes to obeying our parents or obeying God, we all make a meal of this at times. And so as God's people, whether kids, teens, adults, parents, we all need to remember that if you are trusting in Jesus, then God's love for you is not based on how well you obey him or your parents. God's love for you is based on how Jesus obeyed God for you. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience on your behalf. At the cross, he died to take the penalty for all of your disobedience upon himself. And if you are trusting in him today, then his perfect obedience is counted as yours. That's what God's love for you is based on, what Jesus did for you. You can kind of imagine someone really generous putting all of their money into your account. It's kind of like that when we trust in Jesus. All of his righteousness and obedience gets put into our account. So we don't come before the Lord empty-handed, covered in our sin. We can come before him freely. We can be sure that God loves us, welcomes us, and forgives us because of Jesus. To children living at home, this passage says, obey your parents in the Lord. Now it's the parents' turn. What does this passage say to parents? It says two things. Firstly, the Lord says in verse 4, do not exasperate your children, which means don't unnecessarily provoke them to be angry, bitter, or resentful. Don't exasperate them. Now, of course, sometimes parents will cause their children to be angry for justifiable reasons. You know, kids don't like being told no. If you confiscate something, it's probably going to make them mad. And that's understandable. Exasperation is unnecessary provocation. In this whole section of Ephesians, Paul is guarding against the misuse of authority. He did that last week with husbands. He does it next week with masters. He's doing it this week with parents. So he's guarding against the misuse of authority. And I think this is why in verse 4 you'll notice that he particularly addresses fathers. He's speaking to parents, mothers and fathers. He particularly highlights fathers as the head of the household, guarding against the misuse of that authority. But these instructions are very clearly for mothers as well. Love your children deeply. Don't exasperate them. Now, what kinds of things does Paul have in mind here? What kinds of things are likely to exasperate a child? Well, I think it's, broadly speaking, things that misrepresent the character of God. So, for instance, it might look like discipline that is excessive or harsh. Remember, our God is slow to anger and abounding in love. He is patient with us when we fail. And so when you discipline your children, make sure that you're not acting in anger or frustration. Don't let your discipline just be you lashing out. That is not the kind of discipline the Lord calls you to. That exasperates your kids. Always discipline with self-control, with patience and with love. Let your words be gentle and full of grace. One way of thinking about it, it's kind of like fertilizing a plant. You know, if you show no restraint when you're fertilizing a plant, instead of helping the plant, it's going to do a lot of harm to it. Our discipline should be like the wise use of a fertilizer. Another thing that might exasperate children is tending towards always expressing disappointment and condemnation rather than grace and encouragement. When God rebukes us as his children, he doesn't just kind of rebuke us and then leave us in our shame, in our guilt. He doesn't just leave us feeling discouraged and ashamed. He restores us with his grace. He meets us with his love. He reminds us that we're welcome with him, that there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so as parents, you should be doing the same for your children. Meet them with grace. Be someone who dispenses God's grace into the lives of your children. Not just disapproval, but grace and encouragement as well. It might also look like showing favoritism, being hypocritical or unreasonable. Kids can smell hypocrisy a mile away. It might look like speaking negatively about your children to others, embarrassing them, humiliating them. Whatever it looks like, Paul says, don't exasperate your children. And if you do, you know, as parents, you're going to get this wrong at times. If you do exasperate your children, in that moment, you actually have an opportunity to model repentance to them. You say sorry for what you did, ask for their forgiveness, and seek to change with God's help. Show them what it looks like to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And this then brings us to the second thing our passage says to parents in verse 4. Don't exasperate them. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I wonder, if you're a parent, what is your greatest hope for your children? What's your greatest hope for them? Yeah, of course, you know, we want them to be healthy, to be happy. We want them to go well in their schooling, their career, their relationships. Of course we want those things. But as a Christian parent, your greatest hope for your kids has to be that they would follow the Lord Jesus. There is nothing more important, nothing more wonderful, that they would receive eternal life in him, their sins forgiven, their hope secure. Every night, Jesse and I are praying, Lord, give Emmett faith in Jesus. Is that your deepest hope for your children? And of course, whether that happens or not is ultimately in the Lord's hands. It's not all on you. The Lord knows who are his. And so we entrust our children to him. We pray that he would be at work, shepherding them, giving them faith. But even so, the Lord calls you, if you're a parent, to be faithful in instructing and training your children. The reality is, if you don't disciple your children, the world will, and in the other direction. Build your family on the Lord. And so what does that then look like in practice? Well, it could look like a lot of things, but just in general, it begins with teaching your children God's word. God's word is always our foundation, our starting point. Working his word into the daily life of your family. It's just like what we read in our first reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord says, impress God's commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. See, the word of God worked into every part of daily life. That's the picture here. And it's just kind of like learning a language. If you've ever had to learn a second language, it takes daily exposure, daily practice and work. You kind of absorb it by being saturated in it. That's the picture here. We want kids, in a sense, to learn the gospel as their first language. And so that might look like doing daily devotions around the dining table. You know, read a passage from the Bible or a kid's Bible. Read a catechism if you're into that. The Westminster Shorter Catechism is great. There are kids' versions of it as well. Read a passage with them. Help them to understand it. Explain it with them, and especially help them to see how this points to Jesus. All of Scripture ultimately points to him. We want them to see that. Sing Christian songs together as a family. It might be awkward if you haven't made that a normal part of your family routines, but let me encourage you to give it a go. Songs have this wonderful way of embedding themselves in our memories. They teach us and shape us. Sing Christian songs together. It could look like praying through a psalm with your kids as you put them to bed. It could look like putting Bible passages up on your walls so that you see them all over the place. It will look like modeling to your kids how to do what God's word says, how to put it into practice. You know, modeling obedience and trust to Jesus, modeling repentance for your own sins, modeling being gracious and forgiving, modeling being committed to Jesus by bringing your family along to church. You know, making that a priority, to come and learn from God's word together, to worship him as a family with all of God's people. Make that a priority. Show your kids that Jesus is more important than Sunday sports or whatever else might fall on a Sunday. Model that to your children. Whatever it looks like, it begins with teaching your children God's word and then modeling what that looks like. And at times, you are going to struggle to do this well. It's a lot easier said than done. I'm learning that myself. I struggle to do this at times. In the midst of that struggle, remember that the very same gospel that you are teaching your children is the gospel that covers your failures as a parent. Your primary aim in parenting is not to be the perfect parent, but to point them to the only one who is, our Heavenly Father. So that's speaking to children, to parents, but there's also something here for all of us. No matter how you fit into all of that, the entire body of Christ has a crucial role to play in the raising of children. You know, parents bringing up children in the Lord need the support of spiritual mums and dads, you know, spiritual aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, kids' church leaders, youth group leaders, mentors who can catch up with them one-on-one once they get a bit older, role models. You know, these are some of the most important and influential people in any person's life. I'm sure many of us can attest to that ourselves in our own upbringing, how much we've benefited from people who aren't our parents who nevertheless invested into us. And this is actually one of the main needs in our church at the moment. People who can serve and give themselves, invest themselves into the next generation, investing into our kids' ministries, making them sustainable. People who can support our parents in raising children in the Lord. Kids' church leaders, youth group leaders, mentors. Could that be you? Could it be you? Something to pray about, something to consider. It is a great need and a great joy to be able to serve the Lord in that way. So children are the future of the church and of the world. They are precious in God's sight. So friends, let's be a church that deeply values children, that longs to see them brought up in the Lord, that will pray for our children. So children, to the kids in the room, as well as teens and young adults who are still living at home, God says obey your parents, both because it's right and because it is good for you. Help your parents to love you and raise you well by doing what they say. And parents, make it easier for your children to obey you by not exasperating them. Be patient and gracious, and above all, seek to bring them up in the Lord. Pray that they would follow Jesus and receive eternal life in him. Pray that in 10,000 years, you and your kids would still be worshiping the Lord together. That's what we want. Not just a few short years with them on earth, but forever. Let that be your hope, the greatest hope for your children. So brothers and sisters, let's all support each other in this, and let's rely on our perfect Heavenly Father to be at work in us and through us for the good of our families and for the glory of Christ. Let's pray to Him now. Our God and Father, we rejoice that You are indeed our Heavenly Father, that You look after us perfectly, shepherding us, providing for us, nurturing us, teaching us. Lord, we pray for each one of us that ultimately we would look to You as our Heavenly Father, that we would find our security and life and joy in You. And we pray too, Lord, for our families, that as children and parents and as the people of God more broadly, that we would see children brought up in the Lord, that they would receive the great hope and life and joy that is only available through Your Son, Jesus. Lord, please be at work. Give faith to our children and work through each of us, parents and others, to bring up children in the Lord. We need Your help with this, Lord. We pray You would help us. Forgive us when we fail and struggle. Guide us and change us as we need. Bless our church. Bless our families, we pray in Jesus' name.